front of the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave.
Dave's not here!
Hey everyone, it's Dave, and welcome to another edition of Just What Do You Think You're Doing, Dave? On today's show, I wanted to talk about food. Yes, food. The things that we eat. So, let me tell you a little story here. Growing up, I ate literally anything you would put in front of me. I mean, I was picky about some things and some textures I don't like, but I would really try almost anything. And I got to the point where I would eat a lot of things, and I liked trying unusual things and trying new foods and, you know, doing things that were kind of unusual. And sometimes it was for the shock value. Some friends and I, we would go out to eat and we would look for the most unusual things that were on the menu and try to get them just to try to outdo each other a little bit, because it was fun in a way. And it was neat to try new foods and, you know, experience new things. And if you go through different cultures, you find that there's a lot of foods out there that you can eat, that you can try, that maybe would seem foreign to a Western palate or an American palate, but I was willing to try them, and that worked well for me for a long time, and I was really happy doing that. Yeah, sometimes I'd get sick, and sometimes it would work out, and sometimes it wouldn't, but that was just the way it was, and I really enjoyed being that person, like doing those things. It was just fun. And, you know, I like when I, more recently, I've watched the Andrew Zimmern show, Bizarre Foods, and I loved his tagline, "If it looks good, eat it." Because that's kind of what my mantra was. It didn't matter if it looked good, I would try it. And I tried a lot of things. And I found that, you know, it was a fun way to live, but maybe not the best way to live, and maybe not the healthiest. But, you know, that's the way it is if you're trying foods like that. So what I learned over time was I wanted to be a little healthier. I wanted to kind of change my diet a little bit. So I started thinking more about natural foods, organics, things without antibiotics, things that I knew where they were sourced correctly, sustainably sourced, and those kinds of things. So I started to think about food a little differently. And my thinking on food evolved a lot. And I started eating, I'd say better. It's an arguable better, but it's not necessarily better, right? It's qualified in a way. But it was better-ish. And I kind of enjoyed doing that for a while. And then, you know, we get to the point of the pandemic. And the pandemic happens, and in my family at home, we had a wide variety of different styles of eating. I had a son who's vegetarian. I have a wife who doesn't eat certain types of meats and, you know, only likes certain things. And another son who was very picky, would only eat very specific foods. So what I decided was the easiest way to combat all of this was just to stick to vegetarian type eating while we were home. And so we went to what you would call plant-based. Now, a little definition for you here. What I think about for plant-based is anything that is an animal or animal derivative, with the exception of milk, eggs, and cheese. Other than that, every animal is kind of off the table, if you will. So plant-based is really just around those things, right? Just thinking about it that way. So there are a lot of nuts and legumes and different beans and things like that that really fill in and give you a lot of the things that you're looking for the nutrients. I know people say, oh, you don't get the same nutrients that you get from meat. And the truth is that you get all the proteins and all the vitamins and all the minerals in the different things that you can eat. If you eat the right varieties of them, you can certainly replace everything that you had in meat. So there's a lot of good that can come from that. Now, as far as milk, eggs, and cheese, I love cheese, and I don't want to give cheese up. And cheeses are one of those things that's a great delight in life, and I don't want to give those up. I also like ice cream, so I don't want to give up ice cream. Milk I can take or leave as it is, but ice cream, that's something special. The plant-based ice cream, the coconut ice cream, the almond ice cream, those things, they're okay. They're satisfying in a way, but they don't have that texture, that mouthfeel that I like from ice cream. So those I keep in. And then eggs, especially because they're used in cooking. When you're making a cake or something, it's hard to substitute and get the right textures and everything you want in a cake. So leaving eggs in the mix is probably the right thing to do, in my opinion. So I'm happy to leave those in. And occasionally a couple of scrambled eggs is a nice thing to have. So from my perspective, plant-based means that. Just that. Now, on the other hand, one other thing that I really, really like is sushi. And so I didn't want to take fish out of my diet completely. I want to be able to have sushi once in a while, but be smart about what I have. And maybe have a little piece of fish here and again, but as long as it's, you know, kind of sourced well and it's, you know, kind of sustainable in some way, I'm okay with having a little fish here and there. So, you know, that kind of thing works for me. So from my perspective, that's what I consider my dietary habits, right? Everything that I would be okay with. So I look at that and I go, well, that kind of works for me. And you could call it maybe pescatarian, maybe, but I think it's a little bit more than that, but that's fine. But the idea is to think more plant-based. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, a lot of nuts, a lot of things that give me a lot of good feelings. Now, the one thing that I noticed when I started cooking this way was that I missed mouthfeel, the way certain things feel in your mouth, the way a steak feels in your mouth, the way a hamburger feels in your mouth, sort of the texture of chicken, the texture of, you know, like a ribs or a sliced pork or something, where you got that texture. And that's the one thing that I'm missing. And that's when I took it upon myself to try and recreate those sort of mouthfeels so that I get those textures that I like, that are very satisfying to me. Now, there are a couple of products that are out there, the Impossible products, the Beyond Meat products. Those do a pretty good job of filling you up and giving that satisfying mouthfeel. And there are some other ones that do mushroom-based things that taste something like steak, and they do a good job of that. You know, they make you feel like you're eating something. I realized maybe I didn't miss steak as much as I thought I did, but you know, I did miss it a little bit. Then you find ways to use textured vegetable protein or some vital wheat gluten or a combination or even some tofu in there to make something that gives you a texture that's something like, let's say, ribs, right? Where you can, what you're missing is sort of the texture and the smokiness. And if you can kind of recreate that, you get that feeling. So I find that I can do all these things. And it's really pretty cool what you can do. And what you can do with cashew cream, and cashew cream is one of the easiest things in the world to make. You're taking cashews and water, mixing them together. You add a little bit of yeast in there, nutritional yeast, to make sure that it gets a little texture. And you've got something that emulates a cream. And it works well for me, for a queso-like product. It's not queso, I know that. But to me, it has the right mouthfeel. It feels good. It feels like queso. And it's nowhere near as heavy. It also makes a nice bechamel sauce, so you can make some things with that. And you really can come up with something that really does work in those situations. And then you can add in all these other flavors and textures. I started making some different things. I make a lot of different dishes from different cultures where I've just taken the meats out and I've taken everything out and I've made a vegetable-based something that comes close to emulating what that original thing was. You know, I make all these different dishes that just really come together. So I recently made a moussaka that was totally vegan, actually. It had no animal products at all. I make this moqueca, which is a Brazilian fish stew. You can make it without the fish. So when my son's home and he doesn't want to have the fish, I make it without the fish, and then I just make some fish on the side and add it in. So I can make something that's got this deep vegetable flavor, and it's got all these wonderful things. It's coconut milk and tomatoes and lime and all these spices. And it's about layering flavors together and making something that's really compelling and interesting. And I continue to cook and try new things and try new textures and keep finding things that I like. And it's amazing what you can come up with. And it really is pretty neat. And I really do like trying these things. And it takes me farther than, you know, traditional cooking did, right? Where I was cooking with meats and I was doing things. This takes me so much farther. It's because it challenges me in a way. I always like to challenge myself, hey, what have I got that I can make? But now I have to challenge myself, what have I got that I can make that's really, really good, relatively healthy, and actually is all plant-based. And it's kind of fun to come up with these different ideas. And I enjoy sort of tinkering in the kitchen and coming up with things. And sometimes they completely miss, no question. I've made some things where I go, nope, not making this again. And a few things where I've made it and it's just like, wow, this is terrific and I will absolutely make this again. I'll make it again tomorrow because it's so good. And it really does work out. When you put your, you know, sort of your heart and soul into it and you make something that's really tasty, you really can make something amazing. And what happened to me was, as a result of having made really good food at home, I don't want to eat out anymore. It's, you know, when you go to a restaurant, next time you go to a restaurant, just take a look at the menu and look at how many things there are that follow that definition of plant-based or are fish dishes that sound interesting, that look like they take it to another level and really would be pretty good. Because what you'll find is there are very few of those, unless you go to a truly vegetarian or vegan restaurant or something that caters to that extensively, you'll find that there's not a lot of choices on the menu that really give you that sort of thing where you feel like, wow, this is really great. And then their price points are all over the board. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this dish. And it's like, huh, what? I remember going to this one vegan restaurant. They had a special menu for, I think it was for Valentine's Day or something one year. And the dishes they made, you looked at it and you went, wait, these are all things I could make at home. It was like, you know, some product from some company that they were making in their own way and making a sauce and serving it with potatoes or whatever. And you go, but I could do that at home. That's not hard. I can just buy the frozen patty and do the same thing, whatever company it was from. You know, and you realize that nobody's being innovative. Nobody's really trying anything unless you go to a high-end vegan restaurant or vegetarian for that matter, but you have to really work at it. So when I go out to eat, it's always a little disappointing. And I find that I really don't even like going out to eat generally. Not that I won't, not that I don't find something I like, but it just feels like a lot of times you're kind of fighting an uphill battle because you can't find anything that's really interesting. I went to this one place and they made mushroom tacos that were probably the best tacos, period, I've ever had. And I was like, wow, this is great. Why can't more places do things like this? And, you know, it was the sauces and the flavoring and the mushroom texture and everything kind of worked. But most places don't think like that. They don't think that innovative. And it kind of challenges me in a way. I was recently up at Disney's Epcot Food and Wine Festival, and I've gone to it for years, with the exception of the couple of years during the pandemic. I'd gone for many years, and what I would do, I would go in and I would have my list of things that I was, you know, that they had on the menu, and I would be like, here's my top two or three that I really want to have. Here are the next few that I'd like to have, and then everything else is just, you know, I'll just see what happens. And if I'd go for a couple of days, I'd wind up eating, I don't know, 10 or 12 dishes while I was there. And you know, I'd go through and I'd pick all the different things I wanted and I'd enjoy these different flavors and textures and combinations and whatever. But then last year, after I went back after the pandemic, I went to the Food and Wine Festival and I'm walking around and I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, there's not a lot I'd really want to eat here because a lot of stuff was made with meat. And the few things that they made with vegetables or plant-based weren't that interesting. Some of them were good. Some of them were okay. One or two things I'd never had before. And I was like, wow, that sounds really good. I'm going to try that. And they were good. No question. But then I went home and I was like, I wonder if I can replicate that. And I made a dish that was very similar to it based on what I knew, right? You look at it, you look up a recipe, you start with, okay, what does it look like? What was the texture? Whatever. And you go home and you try and make it again. And I did that. I was able to replicate several dishes that I had there in a way that made sense. And so this year I went back again and I'm walking around and I'm looking through it and I go, well, all these dishes that I'm seeing, that doesn't appeal to me. That's fried. That's not that innovative. That's just using Beyond Meat or Impossible products. You know, they're not really doing anything to it. They're doing this or that. And the couple of dishes that I make at home. And I'm looking at it going, none of these are really particularly interesting to me because they're not really pushing the envelope. What they're saying is, hey, we want you to try these vegetarian related meals or, you know, give you the opportunity to have them, but we're not pushing the envelope. We're not showing you anything new or unique that you haven't seen before. These are just dishes that might be good, you might like, you might not, but if you're a meat eater, you might try them and you might be satisfied by them, which is good too. There's a reason for that, but it doesn't work for me anymore. And it was just so weird when I stood there and thought about it. Then I took a moment and walked around the parks and I was looking at the different menus and seeing the things that they offered. And I realized, you know, the number of things they offer primarily are the things from the Beyond and the Impossible Meats products. So nothing really that pushes the envelope again. And their products are fine. Like I said, once in a while for mouthfeel, I like a nice Beyond Meat hamburger. And I've used the textured meat to make different dishes that, you know, would require ground beef traditionally or lamb. And it works. And that's a great thing for that. But they're not doing that. They're serving it as, here's the sausage, here's the hamburger with some other stuff on top of it. And it's weird because they're not really pushing the envelope at all. Yes, I'm glad that they're offering things to people who are vegetarians and vegans. That's great. That's terrific. But they're not pushing the envelope. And I think that's true of most restaurants. They just don't push that envelope to try and make something that's more appealing, that's more broadly appealing and really works for people. It's just interesting. As my diet has changed and my habits have changed, I've been noticing that more and more. And I want to eat out less and less because it just doesn't feel right. And, you know, the thing is, you start to realize that there's more harm being done in the world by, you know, some of the farming techniques and some of the things we do. And you start hearing about all these product recalls with, you know, lead in this or arsenic levels in that and whatever. And you realize that maybe we could be doing better in terms of what we're offering and what we're producing. And if we stopped producing, you know, for all the mass markets where people eat the way they do today, maybe we'd be better off. You know, and that the other point to the other part to this is thinking about, you know, price points of food. If you know, if all these companies are raising their prices all the time because the cost of meat keeps going up as the primary driver, there are other drivers too, no question. You know, could we do better by just thinking about these things differently and thinking about all the thinking about taking some of that out and just, you know, have more sustainability in what we do and, you know, producing better fruits and vegetables and nuts and things like that, that, you know, maybe we get smarter about the way we build, we grow them and the way we build things that we want to have that process them and so forth. So we're being a little bit more sustainable in that sense. That's all. I just wanted to kind of think about that for a couple of minutes and talk food and kind of where we are. It just feels like there's so much opportunity there. Anyway, that's my story for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, if we can dream it, we can certainly do it. Bye now.
What's your point, David?